It is so good to be here, especially knowing we have a brand new month, right? It's May. Is it hard to believe it's May already? And May is the month of honoring one another. Think about this. Next week, Mother's Day. Dad, you're welcome. I just reminded you, you need to go get something. So next week is Mother's Day. The week after that, we'll be honoring our graduating seniors. And then the week after that, we'll be having Veterans Day. So we'll be honoring those that have given their life for our country and the freedom that we enjoy. So it really is just a month of honoring people. And so here's what we decided to do. Since it's on the calendar, there's all these holidays, there's all of these events that we honor people. We thought it would be great just to do a sermon series called Honor. Because honoring people is not something that some smart person dreamed up to some way to sell more Hallmark cards and to sell more party favors. Honoring people is really a biblical command that we have. And so we thought, let's dive in this month and let's really look and see what the scripture says. Let's discover together what the Bible says about honoring people. But we want to do more than just discover what the Bible says about honoring people. We actually want to put it into practice. And so it is going to be a month of just honoring people. So do me a favor, just kind of loosen up this morning. Look at somebody next to me, to you, and say, I honor you. Okay, that wasn't very convincing, but that's a start as we get used to. But here's the reason why I think this series is so, so important. Because we may have a month in our calendar set aside to honor people. And there may be times throughout the year that we stop and relax and pause long enough to honor people. But here's my tension with it. That while we may have moments that we honor people, we may have holidays that we honor people, we may even have events that we honor people, it feels like sometimes that our society lives in a constant state of dishonor. Think about this. We have no problem criticizing those around us. We have no problem stooping to even elementary age way of doing things and calling people names. And we even go to the point that we just simply cancel people out because we don't agree with them. And it feels like this idea of criticizing people, it feels like this idea of calling people names, it feels like this idea of canceling out people has become more accepted as a norm of our society than actually honoring people around us. And so what we want to do this month is, like I said, is we want to do more than just talk about honoring. We want to see if we can recapture this very idea that the Bible puts before us and how do you really go about honoring people? I mean, I think about it, and it feels like that when it comes to judging those around us, that used to be, say, for like we'd judge the politicians. We would judge particular professional athletes when they mess up and do something they shouldn't in public. We would sometimes judge business leaders. But now, we are so quick to criticize. We are so quick to condemn. We are so quick to judge people that we end up judging a friend because they post something online that you don't agree with. That we're in the society that if a coworker makes a statement that you don't agree with, you're ready to just kind of shut them out and just kind of cancel them out in your workplace. Or a family member. Lord forbid somebody come to a family dinner and have a different political opinion than you do. And what does that look like in the family environment? Or maybe the worst way that we can judge somebody, it could even be a stranger that somebody thinks that Palisade peaches aren't the best and we are ready just to mark them off our life forever and ever and ever. Are you with me in this idea of honor versus dishonor? That we have holidays and events that we honor people, but too many times we have a lifestyle that leans more towards dishonor in the way that we treat people. And so this month, for this week and the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at honor. And we'll be looking at some specific ways, but I hope and pray this is that you would take this idea of honor and that you would use it as a microscope in your own life to examine to see if there's some areas in your life, some people in your life, some groups in your life that you really may not be honoring in the way God calls us to honor. And so today's scripture we're going to look at is a very easy scripture, a very simple scripture, maybe the shortest scripture I've ever used since I've been here as your pastor, but it's Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And here's what it says, honor one another above yourselves. That's it. I mean, really, that's so simple, that's so easy. I probably ought to just say amen, and this might be the best sermon you've ever had in your life because it lasted a whole 10 minutes, right? Honor others, one another above yourselves. In fact, let me read some other translations. If you look at other Bibles and how they might translate it, the message says this, practice playing second fiddle. The Amplified Version says this, give preference to one another. The New Living Testament says, take delight in honoring one another. Wow, take delight in one and honoring one another. Too many times I find myself honoring you because I should. I'm honoring you because if I don't, I might get in trouble. But do I really take delight in honoring one another? Another translation says, try to outdo yourselves in respecting one another's. Or another last translation says, just be really happy in respecting one another. And so let me take the next few minutes. This simple verse that simply says, we'll honor one another above yourselves. Let me see if I can pull it apart and let's dig a little bit deeper in what it really means to honor one another. First of all, let me just give you a definition of honor. It's to value, to respect, or highly esteem. Or here's my best part of this, the definition that I like. To treat one another as precious individuals. Treat one another as precious. Started thinking back when Denise and I started dating many years ago. She lived about 45 minutes from where I lived. And so we'd only really see each other on the weekends, but we'd always look forward to the weekends seeing each other. And one Friday night, she called and she said, listen, I really want to see you, but I am not feeling good. And I don't want to give it to you. So I'm just going to stay home tonight and let's not go out. Let's not see each other. And I'm just going to stay home and see if I can get well. Again, we lived about 45 minutes apart. And so I'm thinking, this is the person that I'm going to marry. This is the person that I love so much. I was trying to treat her so precious. And so you know what I did? I went to the local CVS, got a basket full of NyQuil, any kind of cold medicine you can think of, cough drops in there, got a nice little lovely card, and I drove 45 minutes over to her house. I rang her doorbell, ran back to my car, and when she came out, I called her and said, hey, I just want you to know you are so precious to me that I left you a gift on the front porch. And here my wife-to-be, she reaches down. There's this basket of all this feel-good medicine. That's what it means to treat somebody as precious. Now, contrastingly, I'm afraid I have to confess to you too many times now when she's sick, I just put her in the bedroom going, I'm going to shut the door and lock it. When you're well, you can come on out. And so many times in our marriage, there is this moment that when we were dating one another, we treated them, we valued them, we treated them as somebody precious. But as you move on through life, you just treat them as just somebody. So there's all kinds of ways that we can honor one another. And the thing that gets in the way of us honoring one another, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's somebody in public figure, the thing that gets in the way of us honoring one another is one simple fact, and it's this, that by nature, we are selfish people. Okay, you looked at the person next to you a while ago and said, hey, I honor you. Let me give you something a little bit easier, especially if you're family members or people around you. Look at the person next to you and you say, you're selfish. That's a little bit tougher, right? Okay, maybe this one's easier, okay? Look at the person next to you and just say, I am selfish. Yeah, just by very nature that we are just selfish individuals. And so I think that's why when Paul was writing the book of Romans, he gave that clear, concise, simple instruction. In fact, if you read all of Romans chapter 12, that you'll find there's a list of about 10 specific things that he said we should do. And to honor one another is one of them. And I think the reason that he said to his readers back in the Romans back in the day when he wrote it, but for us as well now, he knows the simple fact is that you and I by very nature are selfish. That honoring other people, putting other people above ourselves doesn't come natural because of this sinful nature that lives inside of us. And so he writes so simply there, honor one another. But here's the misnomer that a lot of people run into, and the reason they don't honor other people is because they feel like that they will honor somebody when they deserve to be honored. When you act a certain way, then I'll honor you. When you speak a certain way, then I'll honor you. But honor was never meant to be something someone earns. Honor is meant to be something that we give to another person. A friend of mine who's a counselor, he said he was in a marriage counseling situation. He and his wife were counseling another couple that were having some marriage problems. And that as they were in this counseling situation, the couple they were counseling, the wife just kept tearing into her husband, just kept saying negative things the whole time. From the moment they walked in until they walked out, she was just bashing and just condemning her husband. And finally, after a while, my pastor friend, his wife, looked at the other wife and said, do you realize that since you've come in here, the only thing you've done is tear your husband down? And he said, this woman looked at his wife and said, well, maybe if my husband was one-tenth the husband your husband is, then maybe I wouldn't tear him down. And my pastor's friend's wife looked at her and said, maybe my husband is the man he is because from the day I met him, I have honored him. She recognized the truth that we all should recognize in our lives, whether again, whether it's in a marriage relationship or a friendship and or a work relationship that honors this thing, that if we do, it has a way of just building the other person up and they become the person we want them to become. So honor is not something that someone earns. Honor is something that we give them. You know, think about this. Honoring really makes us more like Jesus. Let me read Philippians chapter 2 to you, verse 3 through 6. And this is the message. So I love the way it puts it, so contemporary. It says, don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves by the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think much of himself that he had to cling to the advantage of that status no matter what. In other words, Jesus' attitude, his disposition, his life was like he could have ranked, he could have declared, I am God's son and I'm above all people. But the Bible says this in Philippians, he became, took the nature of a servant and he humbled himself even unto death. And so when you and I honor another person, when we prefer them over ourselves, when we hold them with dear, when we hold them as precious, when we value another person, we're really becoming more like Jesus. There's a story of a family that was planning a big trip to Disneyland. Disneyland was about 6 hours from where they lived. And so they told the kids all week long, now pack your stuff and we're going to have a great time at Disney. And so right before they get in the car to leave to do the 6 hour drive to Disneyland, the dad turned around to the three kids and said, here's the deal. If you don't honor one another on this trip, if I hear complaining, if I hear nagging, if I hear you just talking bad about one another on this trip, I will take this car and turn around and come home and we won't go to Disneyland. And so all the family gets in the car, the three kids in their back seat, they're looking for Disneyland. They get about 30 minutes down the road and what do you think starts happening in the back seat? The kids start complaining, they start pointing fingers, they start just not honoring one another. So the dad turns around and said, kids, I told you what's gonna happen. And he did a U-turn in the street and he drove back home and they parked in the driveway and the kids unpacked all their stuff and went inside the house to their bedrooms. As the kids were carrying their luggage inside the house, the dad looked at mom looked at dad and they smiled and said, it worked. You see, their tickets were for the next weekend. But they wanted to show them that if you don't honor one another, what's going to happen? They said the next weekend when they went to Disneyland, it was the best weekend they'd ever had as a family. Those kids didn't argue, didn't fuss, didn't complain one single time. Now, I don't know if that's your way that you teach your kids something by something like that. But one of the things I've learned in parenting and that Denise and I learned, if we gave the kids a why behind something, they seem to understand it and do it better. And so as Paul wrote this passage, to honor one another, to treat one another better than yourselves, he realized that he's probably writing to a bunch of kids. And so in the whole book of Romans, he gives us the why behind it. We don't have time today, of course, to study the whole book of Romans, but if you ever read it, here's what you'll find in Romans. In the first 11 chapters, it is almost like a theological commentary that Paul is unpacking this idea of grace. He's unpacking this idea of forgiveness. And so the whole first 11 chapters, it is just this amazing just description of God's good grace for us. And then he gets to chapter 12, and it's like he does a pivot, and he says, I just told you everything about grace. I just told you everything about forgiveness. I've taught you everything about mercy that comes through Jesus. Now let me talk to you about what your life should look like because you have that mercy, because you have that grace. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, and Paul writing it, he goes, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So it's in the context that he said that we should offer our bodies a living sacrifice because of God's great mercy. As you read down in that, that's when he gave us the verse, and honor one another. You see, he was looking at the people and he's letting us know today, you don't just point a finger at somebody and says, you need to honor people because God wants you to. Honoring one another is more than behavior modification. Honoring one another is more than just checking off the to-do list, your task list of what it means to be a good Christian. Paul says this, we are to honor one another as a response to God honoring us. In fact, look at it a little bit closer to me. If you got your outline there and we're taking notes, you can start putting some notes in. It says this, honoring others, according to Paul there in chapter 12, verse 1, honoring others is a response. It's a response to the way that God honors us. Therefore, in view of God's mercy. See, there's nothing that you and I can do to earn that mercy. Okay, there's nothing that you and I could do or will do or can do that we can earn the forgiveness. Basically, God looked at us and said, I honor you. I love you enough to give you my son Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. He didn't wait around going, hey, let me see how you kind of measure up. Let me kind of see how you earn this. Let me kind of see what's going on. He goes, no. I will make the first step. I will move towards you and I will honor you and offer you my son Jesus to you. And here's what he's saying, Paul is saying that verse then. Because God made the first step towards us, it is our responsibility, it is our response that we make the first step towards other people. And the best way that we can make that first step towards other people is to honor them. That honor is a conscious act of love. Again, honor is more than an obligation. Honor is more than just a commandment that we read about in Scripture. Honor is a conscious act of love that God loves us and therefore we love others. And God loved us enough to honor us with his son Jesus, so therefore we should honor others with our unconditional acceptance, our unconditional love, our lack of criticism, our lack of judgment, and we're not waiting for them to do something more so we can honor more. We simply just give it to them. Let me tell you another thing that Paul says there. Honor is more than just a response to the grace that God gives us. He lets us know that honoring is also a choice that you make. Paul said this, that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice. See, when Paul was writing this particular passage, he was writing it to the Romans, and the Romans were very aware of animal sacrifices. That had been a part of their life since the Old Testament days, and so they knew when you were offering an animal as a sacrifice, that animal really had no choice in it. That a person would walk up to sheep or lamb or goat, and they would pick that goat up, and they would sacrifice it on the animal, or sacrifice that animal on the altar, but that animal never had a say-so in what was about to happen to them. But here's what Paul is saying here, that we no longer in the new covenant with Jesus, we're no longer offering animal sacrifices. The sacrifice that we offer him is ourselves. But unlike the sheep or the goat that had no choice in it, you and I, every day of our life, every moment of our life, we have an option, we have a choice on what will be sacrificed unto God. Not physically with a knife and blood, but to simply say, God, all of my life is yours. And so as you think about honoring people this month, whether it's mothers or graduates or just the people in your lives in whatever way, here's what we need to realize is that honoring others is a choice that we make every day. A great prayer that we could pray this week or this month is when you wake up in the morning before you ever put your feet on the floor to get out of bed is simply pray, God, help me to honor those around me this week. Help me to honor those around me today. Help me to put those in my life ahead of my own preferences and wants and desires this week. It is a choice. Here's something else that, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, that honoring is more than a choice. It's more than just a response. It's also a lifestyle. Paul said this, that we are to be a living sacrifice or offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, this idea of honor is more than just a sermon series. This idea of honor is more than just a holiday or an event. It is a lifestyle that we have from this day forward. God's not looking for some big single act that looks down going, wow, great job, you honored somebody. Why don't you try that again next month? Great job today, try it another day. As a living sacrifice, it is something that we're sacrificing ourselves over and over and over. that we're sacrificing ourselves continuously for the people around us, that we are honoring as a lifestyle more than an occasion or an event, that we are to honor without ceasing. And then he gives us one more way that we're to honor people, or that not honor people, but what honor is. Honor is a lifestyle, it's a choice, it's a response. But honoring others is also an act of worship. Because in that verse, this is what he said, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." And then he says this, "For this is your true act of worship." On Sunday mornings, I love when we come in here and we worship together. In fact, if it was up to me, we would take our service from being an hour to an hour and a half, and we would have three or four more songs. There's just something about when we come and we corporately sing and we worship God. But if the only time that we worship, the only style of worship that we have is when we sing, we've missed worship completely. When we walk out of this room and the way that we treat people is an act of worship. When I honor you, I'm honoring God. Or another way to look at that, when I don't honor another person, I'm not honoring God. And so when I prefer you, when I value you, when I treat you as something precious, that is really me going, God, here's my worship unto you, and I give it to you. Worship is more than what we sing. Worship is how we live. And one of the best ways to worship how we live is by honoring other people. When we honor others, we worship God. And so let me just see if I can simplify this for you. Just simplify in the easiest way that we can walk out here, as simple as the verse that says, "No, honor one another." Here's the bottom line, is that we honor by honoring others, or honoring others is good. Okay, this morning I've tried to get a little audience interaction with one another, and you're a little slow and you're a little sleepy today. So let me just try it a third time, okay? Maybe a third time's a charm. Would you look at the person next to you and just say, "Honoring others is good." Okay, now make it a little bit more personal. Honoring you is good. That's the bottom line. And not only is it good, you can write this down, and it is the right thing to do. One time I was at a church and they were going to have a service about honoring somebody. It was a special group, and someone raised their hand and said, "We shouldn't do that." Like, a church service is all about focusing on God. A church service is all about focusing on Him and worshiping Him. But they missed the very point is, yes, God is the ultimate thing that we honor, the ultimate person, the ultimate God that we honor. But when we honor those around us, when we honor horizontally, we're also honoring and glorifying God vertically. And so it is not just a good thing to do, it is the right thing to do. And so as I said, as we began this series this month, we're going to not just learn and discover what Scripture says about honoring, we're also going to take the time and we're going to put it into practice. I hope you put it into practice in your life when you leave here, but we're going to put it into practice in this room. So today, I want us to take a few minutes and honor a very special group of people. And the people that I want us to honor are those that sacrifice so much for this church. In fact, we couldn't even make Sunday morning happen if we didn't have these particular people in our church. They're the ones that get here early, don't get paid anything. They're the ones that stay here late. They're the ones that literally are a living sacrifice every Sunday morning that we can have our services together. They're a living sacrifice in this room. They're a living sacrifice in the hallway. They're a living sacrifice with our kids downstairs. They are doing so much behind the scenes that most of us don't even know what they do. In fact, here's kind of what I would describe this group of people that I want us to honor. They do whatever it takes. I'll never forget several weeks ago when we lost electricity for the morning and we're all just standing around and nobody knew what to do because we don't have plan B when there's no secretary and no electricity. And I sure wouldn't want to know what to do if there's no secretary, Mona, wherever you are. But here is their attitude. "Pastor, whatever it takes, we'll do." Some of our volunteers came that morning and they ran to Home Depot and bought some electric lanterns so we could put them in the bathrooms. Others were opening doors to make sure we had the right temperature in here. And here's the group I want to honor today, our volunteers. We have volunteers that are in the choir. We have volunteers on the production team back in that room that you never see. We have the volunteers on the stage that spend hours every week getting ready to lead us in worship. We have group and ministry leaders. We have hospitality people, greeters at the door, security, elders, deacons. Our church is full of volunteers. In fact, when they came in today, and you might have seen this already, we have new name tags or badges for all of our volunteers that look like this. Now, if you're a volunteer in some area, whether it's Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and you didn't get one before you leave, there's a table out there. And here's why we gave these badges to them. Because today, especially, we wanted you, the church, to see all the volunteers that we have at the church. We wanted to give them just a big red tag. Now, you may see some with a blue tag on there, a blue badge. Those are the ones that get to work with our kids. They have a special background check for it. So blue or red's not better or worse. They're just different. But we have all kinds of volunteers in here. And so I want us to take some time today, and I really want us to honor them. And when they wear this badge, when they wear this name tag, it says on there, how can I help you? Maybe I should have put on there instead of how can I help you, it might have simply should have said, I am worshiping today. Because when they wear this badge, when they volunteer, when they give them their lives as a living sacrifice to this church, when they take the motto, whatever it takes, they are living a life of worship. And so here's what I would like to do. I would like us to honor all of our volunteers. Again, a volunteer, whether it's a deacon, an elder, production, the greeting team, the hospitality team. God, thank for all the cafe coffee people out there. Those are volunteers also, those people that we couldn't do Sunday morning without it. And so if you're a volunteer, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, during the week, if you're a volunteer, and if you have your red tag or don't have it yet still, would you do me a favor? Would you simply just stand? Any volunteer at this church, just stand. Okay, that's the quietest standing. I had dreamed, there you go, help me out here, okay? Okay. Now, volunteers, do me a favor. Sit back down just for a second. Sometimes we just need rehearsing, okay? This whole week when I wrote this sermon, I had this dream in my mind that I'm going to say, would you honor our volunteers? Would they stand? And like, you just went crazy if you're sitting, okay? You're just appreciating in such a way. They're going, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. They're going on and on and on. This is kind of crazy, okay? But isn't honoring when we treat somebody better than ourselves? Wouldn't you rather, if you were being honored for something, have a standing ovation than a simple golf clap? If you go to a birthday party and you're supposed to be recognized, but they're always talking and chatting amongst themselves and you're never recognized as the honored guest at a birthday party, wouldn't that kind of feel like a weird birthday party? Because you're supposed to be honored? Okay, so I would like to at this time recognize all of our volunteers. So if you came today and you've already picked up your red tag or you still have to, just in a way to recognize you, would you just stand up where you are? We just want to recognize our volunteers. Stand back up here for a sec. Church, you're learning, okay? Now, volunteers, don't sit down yet because we have these name tags for you. Here's what we want you to do. From this point on, anytime you come to church, we want you to put on your volunteer tag. And here's why. For you, it's a reminder of what you do is more than a volunteer position. It is an act of worship. And I think the very fact that it says not I am worshiping, but how can I help you? What a great way to say I prefer those people around me. I value the people around me. And so volunteers, we want you to wear it. Now, I know some of you only volunteer like every other week or you have a rotation. Here's what we want you to do. Because honoring others is not a role I feel. It's not something I do occasionally. It is who I am as a follower of Jesus. Here's what I'd want to invite you to do. Even if it's not your week to specifically volunteer in the position that you're volunteering for, when you walk in here, put on the name tag. Put on the name tag as a way to say, I am here to do whatever it takes. Now, if you're sitting down going, well, I don't like this church, okay? Like, I don't have a name tag. Why don't I get a name tag? Oh, I'm so glad you asked, okay? Because we want to provide an opportunity not for you to volunteer. We want to provide an opportunity for you to take a step in discipleship and be a part of the worship of honoring people here. And so as you leave today, if you're interested in a red name tag, or more than that, volunteering, or even more than that, making your service at church an act of worship, on your connection or in your handout, you can just fill out the bottom, my name is so-and-so, here's my phone number, somebody call me about volunteering. Listen, you may not can sing like Ryler, but we have production spots back there. You may not be able to talk to adults somewhere, but we have kids ministry spots. We have all kinds of ways that you can volunteer. Now, for those standing, you're going, can I sit down yet? Not yet, because we have a gift for you. Remember I said a way to characterize who you are here at this church is you'll just do whatever it takes? Our kids ministry has slipped in the back, and they have a gift for every single one of you. So kids, if you'll start passing that out, and the gift they have for you is a little pin that simply says, whatever it takes. And what we want you to do is clip that on your lanyard and you wear it around and whatever it takes. In fact, I think as these kids take it, we can just keep clapping, we can keep celebrating. I'll let you sit. We're about to wrap this up. But now, you see what just happened here for a second. Now, watch this, church, okay? This is how the church is the church. This is where it's more than a sermon that I try to speak. It is a life that we live. And here's what just happened. If worship, or if honoring is an act of worship, if honoring others is a choice that you make, if honoring others is a response to the good grace of Jesus in your own life, the kids walking in that just gave those pins recognize this is something you're supposed to do your whole life. Do you see that? That we just became this living example. We became this living testimony of what honoring all is. And so for each of you that honor in some form or fashion this church, thank you, thank you, thank you. And for those that don't have the red badge, here's what I invite you to do. Join the club. Not some club that we're trying to keep people out. Join the party of making a difference in the lives of people of South Sub Church. Join the party of doing whatever it takes for the name of Jesus to be shared from generation to generation to generation. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this opportunity, not just to hear your word, but to see your word. God, thank you for those that so just tirelessly give of their time, they give their talents, they give of their treasures. Thank you for those in this room that do whatever it takes as an act of worship. So, Father, I pray for all of us, whether it's something we do here at this church, God, whether it's how we treat those at our workplace, if it's how we honor those in our family, and God, as we head into an election year, even honoring those that we call politicians, may our words, may our deeds, may our lives be honoring others in such a way that the world will see us worship you. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.